a phrase came to mind which kind of set the trajectory of what's going on now. And the phrase was this, believers have charismatic theology, but cessationist experience.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour.
Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in to this week's what's going to be a really special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And I have a dear friend joining me for today's conversation who is an international prophet, and he is known for his love and his wisdom and his very direct, straight talk, where through truth and honesty delivered with such love and kindness, he sets people free and he raises up healthy prophets to be able to hear Jesus authentically all around the nations of the world. He's the founder of Legacy Ministries, a co-founder, along with his beautiful wife, of Legacy Ministries International. It's my joy. I'm so excited to welcome into today's conversation with me, Simon Breaker. Simon, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I am very well, and I am very excited about this conversation because I know it's going to be very powerful. So, okay, when you and I were speaking on the phone quite recently, we began to share, right, what Holy Spirit has been taking both of us through in our God adventures and just speaking to our hearts about and just showing us something of where he's taking the body of Christ. And I felt, as you know, very strongly that this is an important conversation to help empower the body of Christ and to bring some, probably some divine perspective to people that will help to make sense of people's lives and journeys and what's actually going on at the moment. So I wanted to do a deep dive, Simon, and just begin by asking you to share some of what you've been going through with regards to yieldedness to Holy Spirit and this whole journey that we're on now of surrender and trust and unraveling from religiosity and striving and religious burnout, right? Trying to be, hold it all together to be, you know, well-behaved Christians, but actually it's a different level. And I believe it's actually going to be, there's going to be a different level of purity of expression coming out of the body of Christ and about with regards to ministry, the expression of ministry in our lives being very much about Holy Spirit now. So can I ask us, will you start there? What's the Lord been showing you with this regard?
I think the best place to start is probably with a statement which almost set the trajectory. I've always sort of endeavored to go after the Holy Spirit as best I can and yield to the Holy Spirit as best I can. But then a phrase came to mind which kind of set the trajectory of what's going on now. And the phrase was this, believers have charismatic theology, but cessationist experience.
Oh, wow. Can you unpack that? That's so profound.
So those of you who don't, cessationism is the suggestion that the work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit ended in the time of the apostles and the early church. That's obviously not the case. I don't believe that. I believe you can disprove that pretty easily from the scriptures. But what I felt the Lord was saying was that it's possible to have a spirit-filled language without spirit-filled experience. And he then brought another statement of many people know about the Holy Spirit without actually knowing the Holy Spirit. And then added another layer to it of many have a business relationship with the Holy Spirit, meaning they've learned how to access or even manifest the gifts of the Spirit whilst not actually communing with the one that's giving the gifts. And it really, it shook me. And then we were talking when we were on the phone. The Lord challenged me. I was on holiday, for goodness sake. I mean, you're supposed to be relaxing when you're on holiday. But there I am sitting on the beach in Crete. And the Lord just spoke to me, said, "You're an idol worshipper." I'm like, "Excuse me, I'm on holiday. That's not what you say to me." I said, "Lord, what do you mean by that?" And he said, "Anything that you put your confidence in other than me is an idol." And he just showed me a couple of things of where I believe the Lord wants to and is recalibrating the life of the church, the life even of ministers. And I mean, I've been walking with the Lord for over 30 years, and I find myself in the place of, "Holy Spirit, I know you, but I don't. I want to know you more profoundly, more deeply. I want to come into a deeper place of yieldedness. I've come to the place of questioning whether or not we get more of God or whether it's that God gets more of us."
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yes.
Thought of the, you know, the it's not talking about Holy Spirit, but it's talking about a biblical principle where it says, with the measure that you give, it's given back to you. And then this, we love because he first loved us. And just I'm wrestling with this thought of God has already given everything. And the only thing I can do, I can't get more from God because he's already given everything. But what I can do is access what God has given as a result of my yieldedness and dependency upon him. And any area of my life where I'm not surrendered, I'm probably practicing idolatry because I'm leaning on something else. So I really believe the Lord is taking leaders, churches, denominations, anybody who's willing, through this process of purging and purifying. He used the term, he says, "I want to deliver my church from charismatic religion." And he loves to use these shocking statements to catch my attention of, we do have religious practice that's not really rooted in relationship. It's almost sometimes, is it rooted in memories of what God did in the past rather than experience of what God's doing in the present? And don't hear me say that I don't think tradition's good. I think it is. But when tradition replaces presence, it becomes a coffin. And I really believe the Lord is challenging his church on this right now.
Yeah, I agree, Simon. You can, you know, in, I can hear his heart actually in what you're saying. I can hear him longing for us to let go, like you said, of anything that it, we're leaning into as a priority over his own presence, where we're and where we're leaning into our history with him, not our present moment with him, where life's come in and desensitized us and whatever, you know, whatever has collectively led us to the moment where we're not knowing him in the way that he wants to be known. And I can actually hear the invitation.
Yeah.
Coming from you of step in deeper, let go of the idolatry, let go of it, because there's a whole other level of knowing Holy Spirit. He said he's been, I think for all of us, you know, we've only scratched the surface of understanding who Holy Spirit is and our relationship with him and how he wants to engage into relationship with us. And there's a yearning in his heart for it, isn't there? It's like he's drawing us into this authentic place that's just, I believe it's profound and it's all-consuming. I think that's one of the things I've been experiencing is this hunger. And in me as well, you know, just this desire, like passion inside of me for Jesus, Holy Spirit, to be the entire motivation of my heart and the expression of my heart in every interaction, right? In every moment of ministry, in every moment of life. Ooh, Holy Spirit. And I feel it. I feel this is what he wants for all of us.
Yeah.
What's the church going to look like as we begin to be this pure expression? Just Christ in us beginning to be revealed, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it was, we just did one of our first Convergence conference over in Poland. And there was a moment while we were there that I think captures to some degree, at least how it's translating itself in my experience, if I can put it that way. And we're having a good time, and I was up to speak, and I was in mid preach, and the Lord just went, stop. And he just stopped me dead, and he said, kneel down. And it was so not, it wasn't in the flow of what was happening. You know, when a moment comes to that kind of stillness, that wasn't where we were. We were in like a pinnacle moment, a crescendo, for want of a better word. And at that point, the Lord just went, now stop. And I got down on my knees on the platform. And obviously for a while, the congregation's like, what's going on? What's happening? And for what felt like, it probably wasn't a long time. It felt like a long time, but it wasn't a long time, probably. I just waited and waited and almost waited to the point of squirming internally. What on earth am I doing, Lord? And then a wave of the Holy Spirit came out of the congregation. And for the next probably 45 minutes, the congregation worshipped with nobody leading.
Oh, beautiful.
And the presence of God captured hearts. And I'm becoming increasingly aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit is treated like an afterthought rather than the central piece of everything that we do. And it doesn't say it's not by might nor by power, but by my clever structures. It's right. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, and bringing us back to that core value as we know Jesus lived from, I only do what I see. And to see, you've got to be united with the Holy Spirit, who is the one that gives us sight. And it's such a deep challenge. And I believe it's going to shake, actually, even over this weekend, as I was, I think it was Saturday, as I was waking up, the Lord said to me, there is a wave of cessationism that's going to rise in an attempt to shut down the fresh wave of the Holy Spirit that's breaking out. And the Lord said to me, don't be surprised at the rearing up of the spirit of denominationalism in reaction to the fresh outbreak of the Spirit. And I said, Lord, why would that be the case? And he said, because control always feels threatened by freedom.
Oh, that's really important.
Really are going to find, and I want to say, when I use that word denominationalism, I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about denominationalism. I've actually found, as I know you have, some deeply spiritual people in what would be labeled denominational church, and then denominational mindset in what we would think is charismatic church. So I think it's the mindset God's coming after, because he wants a bride that dances with him in his presence in the freedom of the Spirit, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what he's doing. And I think that this hunger that's rising in us, and I'm sure many of you guys out there, that you're relating to this, there's just this dissatisfaction that's growing for anything other than the deepest possible, authentic, experiential union with Holy Spirit within us constantly. And it's, I know it's the same in you, but I've found when I'm leading conferences, whatever it is now, all, you know, every time we're filming everything, honestly and truly, by the grace of Holy Spirit, all I care about is that we are connecting and hosting his presence. Yes. And that his heart, what honestly is his heart, his mind, his presence is what flows through this moment. And look at the fruit for you, Simon, in that moment where you knelt down, you were obedient, you know, and there's many, many people there that are hurting a lot of the time and really needing a touch. And there's an emotional pull, isn't there, as leaders? We want the people to get free. But the way to get free, to bring that freedom, is the yieldedness, isn't it? It's the letting Holy Spirit be God in the midst of us. And like you said, that wave of worship just came as he began to move, and because you let him be God.
Yes.
You let go of control. Yes. And it's, you know, his presence could invade. It's just, yeah. It's the only way, isn't it? It's the only way.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a term that I'm finding myself meditating on a lot is learn to steward stillness.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
And I think so often what can happen, I mean, we are, I believe in spiritual breakthrough, but I don't believe spiritual breakthrough happens when I try harder. I believe spiritual breakthrough happens when I yield more deeply.
Yeah.
And sometimes that yielding is a raising of the hands and a shout, but sometimes that yielding is on your face in silence. And I think we can be in danger of having our preferences and then missing what God wants to do, and be in the danger of filling a space with so much activity that actually there's no activity of the Holy Spirit at all. And what looks like encounter is actually soulish.
Yeah, soul-generated.
It's self-generated. And I even believe, I feel like the Lord, again, something else the Lord said to me, says, be aware of false presence. And I said, what on earth is false presence, Lord? He said, false presence is when the soul of man is manipulated by circumstance, why, but then the spirit of man ignited by my presence.
Yeah.
And I really believe we need to learn, and obviously we want the soul to be renewed, but the soul is renewed by the work of the Spirit. It is an internal work before it's an external work, and we've got to learn to live from that place. And it's profound. And quite frankly, you don't get so tired.
You don't, because you're not doing it in your own strength.
They do.
True. It's, oh my gosh, I think we're awakening to the experience that the early church walked in that transformed the planet, right? Because they let go. They understood, you know, how to live in union, what had happened, the new creation experience. And just, I'm so thankful, you know, that the time that we're in, even though there's all the darkness and the drama going on, I think that's the backdrop at the moment, isn't it? In which his presence is going to rise, his light's going to shine in the midst of those of us that will just dare to step out in full yieldedness, you know. So I wanted to ask you, Simon, like, so obviously in order for us to do any kind of ministry in life, or, you know, reveal Jesus in any situation, we have to live it authentically first on the inside. I mean, we all know this, but, you know, what does it look like for you? So as the Lord's been bringing this next level of awareness and purity to you, have you just been sitting with him and letting him dismantle anywhere where you realize, oh, actually, I'm leaning into that, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, I mean, have you been going through that internal process yourself?
I think one of the things the Lord's been doing with me is taking me to scriptures and having me look at them again. And an example, just so I make sure I quote the verse right, 2 Corinthians 3:17, a verse that's quoted everywhere. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I have a real problem with that verse. And the reason why I have a problem with the verse is because if the Lord is spirit, and we know the Lord is everywhere, freedom is most definitely not. And I've been in contexts where there's freedom demonstrated, and then there's contexts where there's freedom not demonstrated. And because of the fact I believe Jesus didn't lie, I have to believe that he's given his spirit to us and he never leaves. So then if God's presence is always with me and he's purging me of, I mean, I don't know whether you find this. I find that the theology of songs trip me up because I don't think they reflect truth. Sometimes what they reflect is experience or perceived experience. And I'm in this place of purging my language of all suggestion of distance, firstly.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
And therefore, I no longer say, come Holy Spirit, because yes, by saying, come Holy Spirit, I'm suggesting absence. If I say, break out Holy Spirit, I'm suggesting he's captive. And I understand what's meant by these terms, and don't for goodness sake get tripped up by it, but it's just something the Lord's doing with me. So therefore, when you go back to that verse Now the Lord is spirit, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I believe the answer to it is this, is it's where the spirit of the Lord is acknowledged as Lord, that
yes,
there's
freedom. That there's
and
freedom, yes.
Any area in my life that's not surrendered to the lordship of and guidance and leadership and fellowship and communion and conversation of the Holy Spirit is an area of my life where the freedom of the kingdom is not being manifest.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm coming to the place constantly of just seeking before the Lord, and applying Paul's words. If I was to say what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians chapter 1:15, I might be less diplomatic and say you're as blind as bats, which I think is actually what he was saying when he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened. The implication is that they're not. And that means then I have areas of blindness. And having the level of courage to come before the Lord and say, Lord, would you show me my areas of blindness? And of course, blind spots are a challenge, aren't they? Because they're blind spots. And by virtue of the fact that they're blind spots, you can't see them. So therefore, the only one who can reveal that to you is Holy Spirit. And I believe the Lord allows us to be in a place where he increases on our yieldedness to him, not by holding something from us in the strictest sense, but holding something for us so that we lean into him. And I just find that even in prayer, in worship, that when there's not a sense of manifest presence, it's not the Lord's rebuke, it's the Lord's invitation. I don't believe the Lord disciplines us with his absence. What father would do that? I believe what the Lord does is in his goodness, he holds himself and says, actually, you're far too awesome to stay where you are.
Yeah, so brilliant.
Come deeper, and I'm in that place, and I'm all, of course, at the same time you're trying to manage the justice of God and the judgment, all of these things. But if you don't have this first, everything else is out of kilter.
It is.
So I really believe God is recalibrating the heart of his bride.
Yeah, no, I agree. So brilliant. I've been in a very similar place, like many of the things that you just mentioned. I just was like, yes, 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 yes. You know, that changing my language, Holy Spirit's been doing that to make sure that I am always aware that I'm living from the reality of union. There is no separation. There is no distance. I don't need to ascend anywhere. I mean, all this language, we've all used it, right? You know, but we know what we're trying to say, but he's really wanting us to move into a different level of awareness, that he's a glance away. He's within us. He's constantly available. And we live from the strength of our union now. And the other thing that you said, the Lordship of Holy Spirit, where Holy Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. Massive difference, right? When we understand what that scripture, what he's saying. And so he simplified me. So interesting. We're having this conversation real time, guys. It's so interesting because they are the two major areas that the Lord's been bringing me back to over and over, to awaken to the reality of the union that we have with Christ. And in every situation, if there's a challenge, just surrender to his Lordship, to the reality that he's already there. He is king. He has made everything, like you said at the beginning, all things have already been made available for us. He is the solution in every situation, right? We just have to yield it to his sovereignty and allow him to come in and take over and transform. The other area I wanted to talk to you about, Simon, was through yieldedness. I know when we were talking before, I have experienced a profound increase in the level of authority that we steward, that we experience through yieldedness. Where I, without going through all of my encounter again now, I wanted to just share a little bit. When the Lord was taking me through one of the most recent experiences where internally he was having me simplify, and this increasing hunger inside of me for the, like I said, the only expression of my life would be authentically him, the only motivating force of my life with every person, every situation would be his love, compelled by compassion, the purity of who he is, the authority of who he is being the expression of my life. And so when I was going through that, I was in the middle of a massive warfare storm. And there were, I could feel a raging principality, like, you know, it was in the media gate when we were filming. Just, and so the Holy Spirit was just having me go yield to his headship, go lower, go lower, go lower. And everything within me was increasing in this passion that it would just be Jesus. And I was yielding and yielding and yielding. And suddenly everything just went click on the inside. It was like all the bits of my heart had gathered up together internally through the grace of Holy Spirit and went click into one pure desire. And as that happened, the whole spirit realm went silent and I shifted into a connection internally with the power of Christ in us and the authority and the different level of governance that's going to start to be evident and the effectiveness of our capacity to co-reign with Christ. So I just wanted to talk to you about that as well, because that I've seen that is a significant fruit. The spirit realm went quiet when that happened and it didn't re-engage. And so I thought, oh, so I'm on that journey now. Okay, Jesus, governance through yieldedness, through intimacy, from that place of union. Simple, but it's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just reflecting. I don't know why this came to mind. You know, I used to be a butcher before I was in ministry. And
I didn't know that.
and the way that we would start our day is on the sharpening stone. And we'd spend a long time sharpening the blade. And the reason why we did that is because if you get the blade sharp for the rest of the day, it's effortless. And it's the blade that does the cutting. And I really believe that this is something that, and actually, you're more likely to cut yourself with a blunt blade than you are with a sharp one. And the reason why is because, of course, you have to use force. I believe it's Ecclesiastes 10:10 that says, if the axe is dull, much work is needed. Wise is the one who sharpens the axe. And I believe that this is to do with that, that there's some, I mean, if we're honest, sometimes we're a little bit like taking the fuse out the plug with a butter knife, rather than actually using the tools that God has given us. And you can see breakthrough from it. I mean, you can. But when it's in partnership with Holy Spirit, it's such a different thing. And it's less crude, if I can put it that way. There's a finesse, there's a dignity, there's an ease. And certainly one of the things that, if you were to say to me, what is the, is there any hallmarks of the season that we're in? I'd have to say, and I've heard this from multiple different people, multiple friends in ministry who are going through this same journey, deliverance seems to happen everywhere. Because demons can't remain in the presence of manifest free Holy Spirit power. And I believe we are coming to this place where age-old strongholds are breaking, not because we're trying harder, but because we're yielding deeper. And this surrendering of heart is bringing an authority and a shift. And I just feel like even people who are watching right now, there are some things you've been stuck in that you've been trying to see move, and you've been relying on all kinds of efforts and strategies and programs. And programs are great. No, I'm not saying they're negative, but I want to say to you that what programs haven't shifted, his presence will. And we are going to come to a place that it's not that we're going to lose the cart, but we're going to get things in the right order. And he's reordering things, and we're going to begin to see swifter breakthroughs and swifter releases. And I think with this yieldedness to the Holy Spirit comes a strategic wisdom, which of course we're told in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as you know, that word wisdom is military strategy, not just being clever. It's the ability to navigate into freedom and victory. And that's what God wants. He wants a victorious bride. And he wants a victorious church. But that victory comes from a deeper yieldedness to him, doesn't it?
Absolutely brilliant, Simon. Absolutely brilliant. Oh, my spirit's going, yes, yes, everything you're saying. And there's another one of my favorite verses I've been living in Proverbs. I think it's 3:7. Wisdom comes when we adore him with
Oh,
an
come on.
undivided heart.
Come on.
Massive key into all that you've said. And
Come on.
yes, that's what I'm saying. I love that. I love that. Deliverance comes as we, it's not through the clever strategies, it's as we yield deeper now because it comes through his presence. And oh my gosh, Simon, we need at least another 3 hours to keep talking. But oh, just brilliant, just brilliant. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being vulnerable and honest about your life. You know, I know that you are the real deal and you walk authentically in your own private life and then release what you live, you know, in public. And that's what we need, right? That's what we all need. So thank you for giving us your time.
Pleasure, a pleasure.
And guys, we pray that you have the most profound week, that you do, by the grace of Holy Spirit, experience yourself just letting go, yielding, experiencing his presence in a completely different way beyond anything you've known before, and just experience freedom, different level of passion for his presence, experience of his love and freedom in your life. And amen. I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. 2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.